Mark 4, 26 to 29. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." May these words inspire us as we continue our journey of faith.
Thanks, Steve. In addition, I want to read from 1 John 3:18. "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed or truth." Deed and truth. This is such a short verse that the lady who read the scripture in DeWinton had to call and make sure she hadn't missed something. "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." So the first scripture that Steve read kind of encapsulates the whole sermon series that I've been doing. It's about seeds and growth, and now we're moving on to harvest today. I know it's a bit early for harvest. Most of you haven't even planted anything, but we're going to talk about harvest today. We've been looking at the kingdom of God through the metaphor of a growing plant. 2 weeks ago, I talked about Jesus' words, "The kingdom of God is within you." Within each of us is the potential for new life, a new way of living called the kingdom of God. I compared it to the life contained in a seed, which has all the information and nourishment it needs to one day sprout into new life. We are the seeds of God's kingdom, God's new garden. Last week we looked at how a plant grows, from seed to seedling, sprouting a stem and leaves going up and roots going down. Then we looked at how we grow, how we have so much potential for growth. But unlike a seed, which must grow where it's planted, we can create conditions for growth. We can set down roots in the faith that grounds us and supports us as we grow. Through those roots, we can absorb the nutrients, like prayer or study or silence or fellowship, all those things we need to nourish our faith. And we can reach towards the light of God's love, and the light of God's guidance, just like a sunflower keeps turning its face towards the sun as the day goes on. This week, we look forward to the fruit that a plant will eventually produce. We look forward to a harvest. Maybe it will be a raspberry, or a marigold, or a potato, or a fig. Each plant is designed not to just grow and produce leaves, but also to produce fruit, something that can benefit not only the plant, but also the insects, birds, animals, and human beings who depend on it. As we learned last week, through the miracle of photosynthesis, plants feed the whole world. The natural outcome of growth is some kind of fruit. As our series scripture said, "But when the grain is ripe, at once the farmer goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." The harvest of some nourishing food or some beautiful flower or seeds is the goal. Not just showy leaves and stems. Because spiritual growth is not just a personal thing. It's not just a private self-improvement project. Personal growth comes first, but it is not the final goal. Out of spiritual growth comes the kingdom of God, a flourishing community where everyone is growing and fulfilling their specific purpose in life. We all have a unique fruit to contribute to the kingdom of God. In the natural world, we call it biodiversity. Here's some information I found from the Canadian Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Why is biodiversity so important? The answer is simple. We all want to continue living in a country where we can watch birds, go fishing, walk in nature, swim in lakes and rivers, and do all the activities that take us outdoors while enjoying fresh air and clean water. The diversity of life is essential for us to enjoy these simple pleasures. Examples of biodiversity at work can be found everywhere. The process by which plants filter carbon dioxide and produce oxygen for us to breathe. The naturally occurring filtering of drinking water. The species responsible for enriching the soil in which we grow our food. The pollination of plants that enables new seeds to grow. The role of the oceans in the regulation of our climate. We're all experiencing that right now because a current called El Niño is affecting our weather and causing drought in this part of the world. Biological diversity is vital to maintaining life on Earth and to ensuring a clean, safe, and sustainable environment. How many of you get the Foothills magazine? It's a free magazine. How many of you saw Tamara in there? Yes. She's working to reintroduce native species of plants that are more suited to our changing climate. In fact, today, she's out doing a bit of guerrilla gardening, harvesting native species somewhere along McLeod Trail, I believe. Oh, Deerfoot, sorry. I looked at the map wrong. Anyways, wherever she is, she's hunkered down digging up plants that are going to do better in our environment than some of the things that we like to import. Tamara xeriscaped her yard. That's where you plant plants that need very little water. To reduce her use of scarce water resources, and she installed gigantic rainwater collection systems. She's also using native plants to encourage the flourishing of butterflies, one of our most efficient pollinators. We need diversity in our environment to ensure the long-term survival of everything, from bacteria right up to and including us. When an ecosystem is in balance, every part works as it should to maintain the system. Plants provide nutrition for the insects, and in return, the insects pollinate the plants, ensuring their survival. Predators keep the population of prey in balance. Fungal networks transmit chemical messages between trees, keeping them strong and resistant to pests. And if that tweaks some interest in your mind, I suggest you find the book, Finding the Mother Tree. Every single organism is vital to a well-functioning ecosystem. When it works well, an ecosystem benefits not only its members, but the entire environment. Hunters can harvest game for their families. Berry pickers, how many berry pickers do we have here? Yes, I sneak out to a little patch in De Winton every year alongside the road, pull my hat down, wear sunglasses, and hope that that's okay. So berry pickers can compete with bears to fill their jam jars. Fishermen and women can keep some of their catch for a tasty meal. And campers and picnickers breathe clean air and enjoy pristine vistas to soothe their souls. Now, in the same way, we need biodiversity in the kingdom of God. Each person has been planted on this earth to sprout, grow, and produce some kind of fruit. We have a role to play in the beautiful kingdom of God. In our scripture today, we read, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth." This is John talking to his followers. With the endearing term, little children, John exhorts them to move beyond learning and personal growth, beyond words and speech. He says, let us love in deed and truth. In other words, it's not enough to say that we love God and God's ways. We have to live them in everyday deeds of love. It is in our deeds that the truth of our beliefs are made known. It is time for the rubber to meet the road, folks. Let's get out there and love some people. You have heard me talk a lot about Father Richard Rohr. As it says on his website, Franciscan Richard Rohr founded the Center for Action and Contemplation in 1987 because he saw a deep need for the integration of both action and contemplation. The two are inseparable. As Father Richard likes to say, the most important word in our center's name is neither action nor contemplation, but the word and. Both are needed. Time to grow inwardly and time to act. Action without contemplation can be just running off in all directions, driving down the road without a map or a GPS or a clue of where you're going. It might be fun, but you never know where you're going to end up. Contemplation without action is not moving at all. You might be reading the travel guide or the map, but going nowhere. It's not that we shouldn't grow with inner peace and wisdom and all those wonderful qualities, but the natural result of that is always love in action. Again, I want to make sure you don't take this on as a burden. This is not about I must do more to prove that I am a faithful follower of Jesus. That would be more about trying to produce grapes on a branch that is not connected to the vine. It is not about effort. It is about living out of the love that you have discovered within yourself as you nurture God's growth in you, as you recognize God's purpose for you, as you move towards the light of God's leading in your life. You have within you the design and the power to take your place in God's kingdom. You a few weeks ago what you think of how you envision God's kingdom, you used words like love, peace, justice, equality, safety. One guy said, my wife, he got points for that. It's a world where people love their neighbor by watching out for them, feeding them, standing up for them, welcoming them, and wishing them well on their journey. Does this sound a bit daunting? Be assured, little children, you don't have to do it all yourself. We have God, and we have each other. We have God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have God in the power of the Holy Spirit. In this little part of the kingdom called Okotoks United Church, no one person does everything. Some have a gift for speaking or music or the technical aspects of worship. Some people work in the background to fundraise or plan or lead. Some reach out to the community with food or warm clothing. Some people are givers of time and money. And some people pray. Some visit. Some people bake muffins. Some have a healing touch. Some people do jobs in the background which you will never notice unless the work is not done. Can you name some other things that people do to keep our community of faith flourishing? What have I missed? clean the sidewalks. Yeah. We have people that plant our garden every year and tend those plants. Yeah. Got people in charge of maintenance. Yeah. Fix the fence. Yep. Run the sound system. Yep. Exactly. Sing in the choir. There's lots of things that make this place tick. All of these things make for a healthier community. Just like the plant kingdom or the animal kingdom, God's kingdom has a place for every gift. And you have a particular gift, probably several, to share with the world. What is your gift? What is growing out of your growing relationship with God? What is rising in you that the world needs so desperately right now? What is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, trying to express through you? There are many stories about agriculture and harvest in the Bible, but one in particular talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's in Galatians chapter 5. The gifts of the Spirit of love are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the natural result of allowing the kingdom to grow within us. And none of these are out of anyone's reach. And each one can be expressed in multiple ways. You might express the gift of joy in preaching, singing, dancing, or making people laugh. Or maybe just the thought of that terrifies you. Don't worry, because joy can also be an inner strength that fuels hope and tenacity. And then there's the gift of gentleness. Who might need that in your world today? In a world of shouting and pushing, who might need someone to just come quietly alongside them and just listen to their heart? The gift of peace could be expressed in participating in an anti-war protest march. Or it could be as simple as taking time to center yourself each day so that you will bring peace into all your interactions with people. Kindness might be a kind word, or it might be an attitude. Self-control could be expressed as biting your tongue, or on the other hand, controlling your fear and speaking as needed. The manifestation of each gift is as varied as the person who expresses it. The main thing is to allow God to move through you into the world, producing fruit, taking action, and building God's kingdom. Loving others, as John said, in deed and in truth. There's another fruit that we don't always think of. Although all plants produce something that technically could be eaten or used for medicine or something like that, they have another purpose as well. They are beautiful. Beauty feeds our souls just like food fills our bellies. You may have the gift of producing beauty, and I know that's true of many of you. Are you a painter, a sculptor, a dancer, or a musician? A quilter, a knitter, a woodworker, a metalworker? Are you a writer of poems or novels? Do you write elegant computer code? You are producing beautiful fruit for the kingdom of God. Anything that lifts people's hearts, or expands their minds, or soothes their souls, or makes their life easier or more enjoyable, is fit for the kingdom of God. Dostoevsky once said, "Beauty will save the world." People have debated for years about what he meant. I think he meant that because beauty can change us, it can change the world. One person, one experience at a time. That's why so much beauty is built into our world. One time I was flying into Calgary just at sunset. From my unique vantage point of about 10,000 feet, I witnessed a sunset that took my breath away. The towering cumulus clouds were lit with 100 vivid colors, soaring miles into the air, reflecting the setting sun's glory. It's just light and water vapor. Do that. But it made my heart swell with joy. Why, I wondered. Why did that combination of water molecules and refracted light, so easily explained by physics, move my heart? And there was no answer, but I knew it was true. Beauty keeps us in touch with the unexplainable, the awesome, the inspiring. It moves our spirit and opens our hearts to God. So let's just take a few minutes to ponder, what fruit is being produced in you? How can you show up in the world in a way that is healing or nourishing or beautifying? During these moments, ask yourself, what action will flow out of my growth in faith this week? What inner growth will be expressed as an outer action today? So let's just take a few minutes to think about that.